Blog Talk Radio.
A pleasant good evening to you. Once again, you're in tune to the Bible Coach, and I'm your host, MD Washington. I want to thank you again for joining tonight as we continue to praise God and lift Him up and to magnify His name through the Word of God. We are so grateful and always thankful that we have the opportunity to come together and to spend time in the Word of God. I pray and hope that the light of a new day will shine upon your hearts, and that the glory of the Lord shall be risen upon you, and that as your countenance is changed from glory to glory, that men will see your Savior inside of you and glorify our Heavenly Father. We are living in a time where it is so necessary for us to be students of the Word of God. We have to study the Bible. The day is coming when there is going to come a famine in the land. And the word of the Lord says, not for bread or water, but there is going to come a famine for the word of God. And it is time for us, like Joseph said, that there was going to be a famine in the land for 7 years. And there was going to be 7 years of plenty. This is the opportunity that we have to store up and grab hold of every word that we possibly can that's in the Bible, so that we may have it against a day when famine will come upon the land for the word of God. Have you put a little bit more oil in your lamp? When the enemy comes up against you, do you have enough oil in your lamp to be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil? We are living in the time of the end. The end of time has not come, but we're living in the time of the end. All of the signs that the book of Revelation and Daniel has spoken of, and Isaiah and Ezekiel, many of those signs are being fulfilled even in our time. And yet there are so many of us who are like as though we are blinded by the cares of this world and the cares of this life, that we don't see the signs of the time. God is warning us that we must be prepared, that we must be ready. And so it's just a word of encouragement that I'd like to share with you to continue to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. So we're going to need to do that in these last days to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. There are so many voices in the world, and some of them without distinction or without sound, Paul said. And if the trumpet was to give an uncertain sound, who would prepare for the battle? The enemy is sounding his doctrinal beliefs, and there are people who are being carried away by every wind of doctrine. And now is the time to become established in the Word of God so that you may be able to have something to fight against the enemy. So again, I want to encourage you to continue to study. Tonight's subject, we're talking on the subject, has God created anything else since creation? Has God created anything else since creation? And that's the subject that we're going to be talking about tonight. I pray that you would grab your Bibles and something to write with as we'll take a journey through the Word of God together. But before we do, as always, we are going to go to God in prayer. Whenever you are opening up the Word of God, it is necessary for you to take time to invite the Holy Spirit to teach you. It's the Holy Spirit that has been given to us as the one who will lead us and guide us into all truth. And so it's incumbent upon us to take the time to make sure that we invite the Spirit to lead us in every time you open up the Word, every time you begin the study, because the enemy will show up and he will allow you to look at those scriptures and sometimes come away with a wrong understanding. That's why it's necessary to pray and invite the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you tonight and every night that you give us grace and mercy, that we might turn our hearts to you, that we might submit to your will, your purpose, that we might cling to you and hold fast upon you. We realize that we're living in the last days, and we whosoever need you in our lives today and forevermore. We invite you to come and teach us tonight. We invite the Holy Spirit to be our guide and our instructor. Teach us all things so that we will have things to remember. And then we pray, dear Lord, that your Spirit will ever lift us before the presence of your glory, that we might behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world, that we, through the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, will become sons and daughters of God. Through your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, my friends. Again, thank you for tuning in. Jump in the Bible with me to Psalms 148. Psalms 148. And we're going to start with verse number 1 and go all the way down to verse 6. And Psalms chapter 148, verses 1 through 6, and the word of the Lord reads, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise ye him all his angels, praise ye him all his host, praise ye him sun and moon, praise him all ye stars of light, praise him ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He had also established them forever. He had made a decree which shall not pass." Wow, what a powerful text. God tells us in this text here that in another place, Jesus says, through the book of Psalms, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God and all of his handiwork. And so here, David pictures that the heavens are praising God. The moon and the stars are praising God, and all of the host of them are praising God. It says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He had also established them forever and ever. He had made a decree which shall not pass." Now, this is typical of the creative power of God. God has creative power to do things that he has established, and he says he has established them forever, and so we see the permanency of God. We see that God is one who can create things, and they have everlasting results that are attached to them. And back in the book of Genesis chapter 2, we see that the Lord comes to a conclusion. He says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 and verse 1 through 3, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his works which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his works which God created and made." So here, as God begins to finish his work of creation, he declares that thus the heavens and the earth, they were finished. God has a way of finishing what he has started. In fact, when Jesus was sitting hanging on the cross, he said, "It is finished." The plan of salvation was complete, had been met. And so the antipical day of atonement and all of those things that were to be declared through the plan of salvation, through the church in the wilderness, as the church in the wilderness went about with the tabernacle, they were able to peer, if you will, and see the glory of God that was in the sanctuary. The priests of God would be able to minister in the sanctuary. And so all of this typified what you and I as a people, how we should carry ourselves, that we are considered living sanctuaries, and God wants to dwell in us. And so he says that his creative work had come to an end. It was finished. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. They were done. They were complete. And God recognized that everything that he had done was good. And he blessed this 7 day. He set it aside. He sanctified it. Whenever you sanctified something, you set it apart from all of the rest. So he set this particular day aside, and he blessed it, he sanctified it, he hallowed it, and then he declares that he rested from all his works which he had made, created and made. So the book of Psalms, chapter 48, is sort of a prelude to this coronation of how God has created things, and David takes hold of this thing, and he begins to metaphorically say to us that even the heavens are praising God. They are declaring, if you will, the glory of God. And when you see the works of God, you cannot help but understand that God is so infinitely powerful and creative that even the minutest things, he gives attention to the very smallest of details. The microscopic things that the naked eye cannot see, there's a whole other world, and God says that I've created the visible and the invisible things. So even though I cannot peer through or see through a leaf, there are microorganisms that are working inside of that leaf to make it live and breathe and have its being. And so all of this is an extension of who God is. He is a God who is infinitely and completely so high that his thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are past finding out. Only what God can reveal to us, as our minds are able to grasp hold of the revelation knowledge of God, it is only then can we begin to sense or get something of the essence of who God is. And so we see his creative power in the works of creation. And the question then arises, has God created anything else since creation? Is God's creative power over? Has it come to an end that he doesn't have to do anything else? He doesn't have to create anything else? But I want to declare to you today that there are some things that God is at work, and because there are certain conditions in the world that exist, there are conditions that rest with the people of God. In fact, he goes on, if you will, if you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16, Proverbs the 16th chapter, is going to help us to carry this discourse that we're sharing tonight in a direction that perhaps we can all in the end understand where we're trying to go. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2, it says, "All the ways of men are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And verse 1 says, the preparations of the heart in men, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So sometimes all of our ways, he says, all of the ways of men are clean in his own eyes, But the Lord weigheth the spirits. The Lord weighs the spirits of what is in you, what is causing you to act like you do and to behave like you are. What is it that causes you to operate either for God or against God, or against the will and the purpose of God? What causes us to do such things? And so over in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, there is an answer for what's going on the inside of us. In Jeremiah chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse number 9. It says in verse number 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And here again, as David says, it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So we have some things that we do that we are going to suffer the consequences for what we are doing. The fruits of our doings, God says that I will give you, or according to the fruit of your doings, this is how I'm going to allow things to happen in your life. He says, I the Lord, search the heart. God is the one who searches the heart. Jeremiah says, who can know that thing? It's desperately wicked. We are in a condition, in a state of mind, in a state of reality that our hearts are desperately wicked. There is a whole lot of stuff on the inside of us that causes us to behave in such ways that are so contrary to the purpose and the will of God, that God has to tell us that, man, your heart is desperately wicked. It's so far away from what I want out of you that I have to search your heart and try the reins of it, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You are producing some fruit in your life. Jesus says that you will know a tree by the fruit that it bears. What kind of fruit are you bearing? What kind of tree are you producing? Are you a corrupt tree, or are you a good tree that has been planted by God, and that the fruit that's on your tree, is it possible that people can eat of that fruit and experience a closer walk with God because of eating off of your tree? God says that I need to try the reins of the heart. I need to fine tune where you are so that you can understand something about your true identity and your true ideal about your heart, because he says that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eye. We feel and look like and act like many times that we are okay, that there's nothing truly wrong with us, that we're okay with ourselves, we're okay with our desperately wicked heart. And God is saying, look, I need to help you. In Isaiah chapter 1, and starting at verse 4, God brings home the truth of this matter. He says, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. In verse 4, I'm reading Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. And so here, Isaiah has pictured through the word of the Lord, the true nature of the heart, and how desperately wicked and corrupt it is, and we have been passing oftentimes that corruptness to generation to generation has received something that from our DNA. It's full of iniquity. It says it's laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. Even the children have the ability to corrupt to corrupt others by their character, their personalities, and all of this. The iniquity is so strong and it's so deep that God says, wow. And then in verse 16 of this chapter, he says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, he says, and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And then he says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. God says that I've got some promises that are attached to if you decide that you want to follow me and be obedient to me, then you're going to eat the good of the land. So God says that, look, I need you to wash yourself. You need to be made clean. Your heart is desperately wicked. It's dirty. It's filthy. It doesn't have what it needs, and because of this condition of your heart, I need you to put away some things. You're unclean. You're unfaithful. You're unholy. You're corrupt. You are going backwards, out of the way, and I need you to repent of that iniquity and that sin and those transgressions against my commands. You have not wholly followed me with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all your soul. And you're desperately wicked. And God is calling his people to come home. And over in 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse number 17, because here again, we're looking at many of the prophets and many of the apostles and spoke on these things in regards to how the heart is. And so in 2 Peter chapter 2 and starting at verse 17, it says, these are whales without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. So those who were clean, those who were not allowing the lust and the flesh and the pride of life and all of those things to keep them out of the will of God, when they were among those who were corrupting themselves, it says that they, those that were clean, they escaped from them who lived in error. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, and so he does not really know and understand his own condition, especially when he's depending upon his own selfish ideals about what is right and what is wrong. He will corrupt himself, and he will use liberty or this attitude that I'm free, I'm big enough to do what I want to do and make my own choices and decisions. And there are young people who fit in this category who have decided that I'm big and bad enough to do whatever I want to do in spite of those who were wanting to correct me. You can't tell me what to do. And there are parents who tell their children who are bucking authority, They go to school and they won't listen to the teacher. They won't listen to anybody that's in authority because the parents have trained them how not to respect those in authority. And so while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. And verse 20 says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. There are those who have been a part of the household of faith, who have come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have emptied themselves out of corruption, and yet only to go back into the thing that they came out of. And so he says that the latter end, that the latter part of that person is going to be worse than the beginning, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her waddling in the mire. So oftentimes there are those who come in the household of faith. They come into the house of God and they receive deliverance only to go back into the world to corrupt themselves. And their worst end, the latter end of that person is worse than the beginning, and it had been better if they had not known the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to go out and corrupt themselves again and be like a dog who turns to his own vomit, or a sow, a pig, that will decide to, after he's been washed, he will go and waddle in the mud again, because that's where their heart is. The heart is desperately wicked, and so it's necessary that something be done in regards to this matter. Over in the book of Isaiah, the 57th chapter, there are some interesting texts of Scripture that I want to share with you that is going to point out and highlight more about our subject tonight. And the question is on the table is, has God created anything else since his creation? And over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, and looking at verse number 19, well, let's start with verse 18. He says, I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him to his mourners. Now watch this. Verse 19 says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, said the Lord, I will heal him. As much as the heart is desperately wicked, and there is so much corruption in the heart that the text says, who can know the heart? It is only God that is able to penetrate and peer in and look at the deep-seated things that are corrupting us and causing us to be desperately wicked. And so he says that I create the fruit of the lips. So God has not lost his creative power, neither has his creative power come to a complete end, because here in the text we see that he says, I create the fruit of the lips. Out of the mouth comes the issues of life. What's birthed in the heart will soon come out of the mouth. Whatever is lurking in the heart or residing in the heart, when the mouth speaks, it begins to open up and convey to the world what's on the inside of the individual. And so it is a great thing that God has has put here in his word that he creates the fruit of the lips. If out of your lips are going to come a holy communication, it's going to be because your communication has been created by God. God has created in you the fruit of your lips are going to speak life unto those that be in the proximity of hearing your words. Your words will not be your own words, but God will create particular words in you so that in your lips it will be the fruit of God being made manifest out of your mouth. So he says, I create the fruit of the lips. God creates the fruit of the lips. And then over in the book of Psalms, Psalms 103, and looking at verse number 18, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments, to do them, the Lord had prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. God is going to allow. In verse 17, he says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. God has this thing that he wants to share, going to go deeper all the way to the children's children. When you allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life and to give you the word is going to cause your lips, when you begin to speak the commandments of God and be obedient to the commands of God and follow his will and his purpose, you're going to find out that God is going to cause your the generation that is coming behind you are going to receive more of the things that God would have them to experience in their life. We are living in such an awesome time, and Psalms 102, and looking at verse number 18, it says, "This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord." So there are generations that are to come, and God says that this shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. The people who God's going to create in the future is going to praise the Lord. God is constantly looking for a generation that will carry forward his word to the forwarding generation, that as a result of that word going forward, it will cause new leaders, it will cause new children that will come up with a heart to praise God. That's why it's so important, parents, that you began to pour into your children the revelation knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to anoint them with the word of God and allow that word to permeate their hearts. If the children are going to know what's right and what's wrong, it's going to be because they have learned it in the home for which they have come forth from. You owe it to this generation that is coming in your household to declare the will and the purpose of God for them, so that as they go forward, they are created by the power of God to praise God, and the anointing of God will attend their steps as they move forward into their children's children. They will begin to declare the righteousness of God to the next generation. God is looking for it to happen through you. In Psalms chapter 104 and verse 30, it says, "Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth." God is creating anew. He says his mercies are new every day, and he has bountiful blessings that he is pouring out upon you. Each day is loaded with benefits. God has loaded up days for benefits, and the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works, verse 31 of Psalms 104. Thou sendest forth thy spirit in the earth. The spirit of the Lord is in the earth right now. Jesus said, "It is expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come." Jesus had declared that I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send him into the earth. I'm going to send him to the world. And he's going to find hearts that are panting after God, hearts that want to know God, hearts that are searching for a closer walk with God. The virtue of God, when a heart is reaching out to touch God, there's virtue that comes out of God into the life of those. He says, "I feel virtue coming out of me." And he will cause whatever thing that's in you to be healed. You will be healed. God responds to children who by faith grasp hold of him and lay hold of him, their creator. And so he says that thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. Thou renewest the face of the earth. God is doing some creating. He, even since the time of creation, God's creative power is still at work. And so you must understand that God's creative power is at work. Over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, Isaiah the 43rd chapter, and looking at verse number 7, it says, Isaiah 43 and verse 5, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." God created you in the time that he created you for the purpose to bring glory to his name. You didn't come here by accident. You didn't get here on your own. God says that I created you. I formed you. I put you in this place, in this time, in this season. I brought you forth before you were formed in your mother's womb. I already knew who you were, and I brought you forth, and so I put you in this time frame. And the purpose for you coming on the scene is to give me glory, to shine, that I may use you as a vessel, as a place to deposit my grace, as a place to deposit my glory, so that you might shine as lights in the earth, so that men who are sitting in darkness may come to the light before it's everlasting too late. You have a purpose. You have been divinely called out of darkness to this marvelous light. You have been called from a desperately wicked heart to come to a heart that is clean. Over in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, there's a beautiful text of scripture here, and you've got to see this for yourself. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. God had already ordained that you should walk in the principles and the will of God. When it says that you were predestined, God had given you a predetermined pathway to walk in, and this pathway is a path of righteousness and holiness, where without shall no man see God. You must be in the place where you come that you reason together before God, though your sins be as scarlet. I'm going to wash you white as snow. I'm going to take your sinful, dirty, filthy, desperately wicked heart, and I'm going to do something in that thing. I'm going to create some things. He says, for we are his workmanship. God's been working on us. He's been creating some things in us. He says that he was creating you unto good works. You've got some evil works that's been manifested in your life. And so God says that I'm going to turn you from those things, and I'm going to create some good works in you. I'm going to cause you to be my project. God is building on your building. He's the potter. We are the clay. He is molding us. He's shaping us after his divine purpose. And sometimes he has to break some things off of us in order to get us to the place where he has to do this redesigning, this recreating of who we are, because we are desperately wicked and our hearts are so far from God that God has to do a new work in us. And so over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, he continues this journey. He says in verse 23 and verse 24, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So here is this redesigning, this redefining of who you are, and God says that you've been desperately wicked, you've been far away from me, you've been a corrupter of yourself, you have produced corrupt children, and your children's children have been influencing the children that are coming up with their corruptness. And God says that now it's time to wash you and make you clean. Now it's time to get out of darkness and come to this marvelous light. And so God is doing a creative work. He has caused you to be his workmanship, and he's creating some things on the inside of you. And he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, the heart and the mind go hand in hand, because there is the seat of emotions, and then there is the mind that makes decisions for God. And so God has to come in and let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. It's a mind that needs to be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the power of God. God has to get inside that mind, because it has to be renewed in the spirit. And when it is renewed in the spirit, that you will put on the new man. God is working a work in us. He's creating some things in us, creating us to good works. He's creating a new mind in us, and which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So this creation that God is doing now has to do with your mind being recreated, being renewed, and so that you might walk in the newness of this new man, this new woman that God is trying to design on the inside of you. And so he says to you and I that which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God wants to create true righteousness and true holiness in you. He doesn't want you to walk around in your self-righteousness and begin to act as if though you are all of that, and you put yourself on a pedestal, and you're looking at other people as if though they don't measure up to who you are corrupt. And he says, there's none of you that are righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners that are saved by grace. I don't care from the pulpit to the pew. We are all sinners needing the blood of Jesus. We must be covered. We must be born again. We must be born of the water and of the Spirit. God says now is time to repent, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God wants to pour out his Spirit upon us because we so desperately need the Spirit of God to bring us out of the darkness that we're in. He needs to turn on the light. He needs to turn on the light of God in our lives. He needs to transform our minds and renew them because our minds are so impacted by the world that we live in, that it has the world has corrupted our thinking. The iniquities of in our sins have separated us from our God so that he don't even know who we are. And yet God is so merciful that he's pleading with us to come out of this thing, to come out of darkness, to enter into the marvelous light. And so he talks to us and he speaks to us over in the book of Galatians, Galatians, the sixth chapter, a beautiful text of Scripture. And I pray that you are writing these texts down because you can go back and use them as references for whatever. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So what avails much, what avails, if anything, that God wants to avail is a new creature. I don't want you to get caught up in the traditions of men. I don't want you to try to patch up your life with traditions or patch up your life with a form of godliness, but you don't have any power from God. You don't have no anointing, no spirit that's working on the inside of you. God says that I need you to allow me to come on the inside of you and renew your spirit. The spirit of your mind has to be renewed so that this new creature can emerge out of your life, and it's going to be the thing that's going to avail against all things that will come against it. The new creature will avail. This same availing word is used over in the book of James. He says to you and I, the prayers of the righteous avail it much. So things that God wants to avail in us or to be the result of, or to be the end of, the completion of, God says that on the latter part of you, I want you to be this new creature. I want you to be this new creature. And God creates new creatures. He creates us after the summitude of his own personality. And so God is looking to create these new creatures. Over in 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, looking at verse number 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God is reconciling us unto himself. We are so far from God through our desperately wicked hearts that he says that I've got to come and reclaim you back to myself, because the image of who I am and the image that I created in you has been so defaced by the world that we've lived in. We have corrupted ourselves, and so much so that God can't even recognize his image in us. And so he has to start this new creation in us. He has to begin to form us all over again and create us from the inside out. God created us first. He formed us from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into us his breath of life, and we became living souls. But on the spiritual side, in this new birthing, this new borning, being born again, this thing doesn't start from the outside. It begins on the inside. He begins to form us and create us new on the inside so that what's on the inside of us will show up on the outside of us. So God does something in this new birth process that is totally different from our natural birthing. Our natural birthing that he formed us from the outside, and then he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and so that came out from him into us on the inside. But now God wants to do something different. He wants to create us new, make us new creatures, so he begins to create in us this new life. And he formulates this thing starting in our mind. He says, I'm going to renew the of your mind with the power of his word. Does God create this thing called the new creature? God wants us to be new creatures in him. And so the text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, simply says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, when you get in Christ, you become a new creature, and old things are passed away. All of those old formal things that you used to do, the sinful ways and the sinful acts, the drinking, the smoking, the whoremongering, and all of those things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what God is creating since creation, is he's starting to create in us and remove some dirt and filth that's in our hearts. In fact, he puts it this way in John chapter 15, John 15 chapter and verse number 3, John 15 and 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It is the word of God that God speaks, as he spoke in the beginning of creation and things came forth. It is this same word that is speaking to your spirit man and telling you that you are clean through the word which I have spoken. So when you grasp hold of the word of God, you are being cleaned on the inside. God is cleansing you from all of your sins. He is purging you through the word. The word is what's transforming our minds. And the question is, why would we hate the Bible? Why would we hate the word of God that causes us to love our neighbors as ourselves? My friends, to the atheists and the agnostics, you ought to be glad that God is transforming people by the renewing of their mind, because otherwise there will be people who would rise up and do some dirty, filthy, desperately wicked things if they continue to operate in the way that they used to be. So God says that all things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So God is doing a new thing in us. He's creating a new work in us. He says, I'm creating the fruit of your lips. You are my workmanship. I'm creating good works in you. I'm creating a new mind in you. I'm furnishing you with a new spirit, a new way, a new attitude, a new purpose, a new plan on how to live for me. And then, if I can just catch one of these final texts of scripture in the book of Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51, and looking at verse number 10, David says to God, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Ghost from Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." David says that, look, I want you to create in me a clean heart. God's act of creation, since the time of creation, is to create in us a clean heart and to renew a right spirit in us. So the new creation that God is creating now, since the time of creation, God has not stopped creating. He has been creating children unto righteousness and holiness. He's been creating us to be more and more like him, to become new creatures in Christ, so that he might take hold of that desperately wicked heart and create in that heart not the same heart, but he wants to give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. He says, I'm going to write my laws on the tables of your heart, and all are going to know me from the least to the greatest. God is said, this is a part of my new covenant with you. Everything that God's doing in this generation is a new thing. His mercies are new every day. God is doing a new thing in us, not according to the former things, not according to the past, but God wants to work in us a new work, a new relationship that we have not had before. And so he says, I got to create a clean heart. I've got to create a new heart. I got to create a new mind. I've got to do some things in you. I got to form you from the inside out. I've got to change some of your wicked, desperately ways that you have on the inside of you. I need to destroy the works of the devil, because iniquity has been found in you and your sins have separated you from your God so that he cannot hear you. So God says, now it's time to repent and turn from your wicked ways, and you need to pray and seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. For the day is coming for the Lord that's in the heavens above, he is our high priest in the sanctuary above. One day, Jesus will take off his priestly robes, and he will put on his kingly robes, and he will declare by him that liveth forever that there shall be time no longer. And he shall declare that he that is unjust be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Every case will be have been decided for life or death. Either you're going to be on the side of the Lord or not. It's only going to be two classes of people. It's going to be the wheat or the tares. It's going to be the sheep or the goats. It's going to be the righteous or the unrighteous, the holy or the unholy. God is looking for a people who will praise him now, so that when he comes, they will praise him then. This ain't nothing but a rehearsal down here. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to really, really sing. I pray that you and I will come to the place where we allow God to do his new creative work in us. And that is to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us, so that we will not be cast away from his presence, and that he will not take away the Holy Spirit. David said, Father, I thank you for this new work of creation that you are doing on the inside of your children, to help us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might, in preparation, be prepared for your soon coming. Lord, help us to work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. Help us to stoop to your word so that we might rightly divide the word of truth. Help us to cling to you and hold fast to you. And when we have done all that we could do to stand, Lord, we're asking that you would help us to stand with our hands grasping yours so that you might lead us all the way to eternal life. Help us to see, dear Lord, that you don't want a temporary relationship with us, permanent relationship with us. Help us, dear Lord, to give you our hearts, our minds, and our souls, that we truly may be created as new creatures. Help us, Father, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you, my friends, and thank you for tuning in. And I pray that God will begin to create a new heart and renew a right spirit in all of us so that we might be able to stand when he comes. God bless you and have a great night.